I think we were, I think, indecisive whether to play the post-up game or get Chris and Giannis into their game, and had a couple turnovers. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's really what killed us, was, you know, turnovers, lack of execution down the stretch. So I actually think that's a good thing for us to learn from, and we'll get better.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, and you guys are always welcome. It's your show, 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 1057FM. The Fan, a very busy weekend of sports. We've been waiting for this, and now we've got it. On Saturday alone, there were 5 NBA games, 5 NHL games, 12 baseball games. You had the PGA and LPGA going on. You had the FA Cup final. You had 2 MLS games. You had 3 WNBA games. Premier League lacrosse is, like, getting some buzz. There was 2 games of that. There was a UFC fight night, 3 boxing title fights, and all 32 teams were trying to do some sort of training camp in the NFL. So there's no lack of activity. After months of nothing, we now have playoff hockey and playoff or seeding games for the Basketball Association. NBA is what most normal people call it, at like noon today. So there's a lot going on, and there was a lot going on with our teams. On Friday, we woke up and we're ready for a home opener with the Brewers, a weekend series. The Bucks scheduled with 2 games. The Bucks got their games in, and they were what games they were. We'll talk about that here in a moment. The Brewers did not. The Brewers did not, as you guys know, no home opener, no Saturday game. There was talk of a Sunday doubleheader. It's like anyone who thought that they were going to play any games after Friday, I encourage your optimism. I as soon as they canceled Friday, there was no way they were playing a single game against the Cardinals, and we kept finding more results of coronavirus positives with St. Louis. So they're supposed to play in Detroit this week. I don't know if those games even happened. The Brewers have not played since Wednesday. They are scheduled to play against the White Sox tonight. It seems like that will go on, but they did not play over the weekend. On top of that, Lorenzo Cain said, "I'm getting too old for this stuff." He is going to opt out of the season, leave about $6 million on the table. Ryan Braun's finger exploded or something. He's got an infection. He's on the DL. I don't know when he's going to come back. And then their bench coach, Pat Murphy, at the ballpark Saturday, we just learned he had a heart attack. So not a good weekend for the Milwaukee Brewers in any way, shape, or form at all. Just a tough, tough weekend, and no games played. Yelich didn't get a hit all weekend. I mean, that's the real tragedy. No, but it was a weird weekend, man, with the Brewers. We haven't seen anything. It was almost like an all-star break. They haven't played since Wednesday, and they're going to play again today. So we'll give you all the latest on that, how baseball is going to still try to cram this thing in and all the adjustments that they're going to make throughout the show here today. Again, Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. Do want to pick up where we sort of left off if you were up late last night watching Bucks-Rockets. Bucks-Celtics on Friday night, good game. Bucks get a 7-point victory, 119-112. Last night, another good game. Bucks do fall 120-116, which is frustrating, and it's frustrating the way they lost. But again, these games for meaning relatively nothing in the standings. And sure, you want to get your legs under you and you want to, you know, try hard and you want to get in a rhythm. And the Bucks, all they have to do is win one of these last 6 games to clinch the East. Even if they do that, how much of an impact will it have? Sure, you'll have your home crowd PA guy's voice in Orlando. But again, these games, these seeding games for teams that are already in the playoffs, especially in the East, where the seeds are also sort of locked in, they don't mean too much from that standpoint. But don't tell the players that. I mean, for the kind of setup that we're in, it comes across very well on TV. And these two teams, you know, the benches were into it. They're fighting hard both Friday and Sunday. So while last night's loss was a disappointment, any loss is, I'm surprised with, like, how all out these guys are going. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, and that goes for pretty much every team in the bubble in the association right now outside of the Pelicans, who the NBA bent over backwards to get the Pelicans and Zion into this bubble, and they're not performing. They're being embarrassed. Everybody else, I mean, we saw it opening night when you saw Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James going that hard at each other. Kawhi trash-talking LeBron, telling him all ball. I was like, oh, here we go. These guys have been sitting at home for 3.5-4 months. They're ready to go, and I think the product is going to be better than ever in the playoffs because we're seeing guys like Giannis actually fresh, whereas last year in the playoffs, come Eastern Conference Finals, he was beat up and he was worn down. Look at Russell Westbrook. Look at James Harden. I haven't seen them this fresh in the playoffs, and I'm going to consider this the playoffs even though it's the regular season, in a long time, but they're going to be healthy and ready to go, and these games matter. Last night was a great example of that. That was intense. That felt like a playoff game. That was just awesome to watch. Now, it was disappointing to see him turn the basketball over that much. We realize how much we actually miss Eric Bledsoe, especially as an on-ball defender when Russell Westbrook's literally doing whatever he wants and scoring 31 points. He actually had a good defensive effort against James Harden. But yeah, last night was intense. It helps that those teams really don't like each other a whole lot, with James Harden and Giannis taking shots back and forth at each other. It's just great to have basketball back. And imagine if it's this intense and this exciting right now in the regular season, just wait till the playoffs.
I'm a guy who, throughout the season with the Bucks, I've wanted close games. I've wanted them to be tested, and it's always better when they win, but if they lose, at least they can learn from it in a setting where it's not going to cost them. This Bucks-Rockets game, you know, we're probably not going to remember it too much outside of the uniqueness of it. If they win the finals, if they lose the finals, if they lose in the Eastern Conference, whatever, they are probably not going to see the Rockets again. So them losing to the Rockets last night, from a purely the standpoint of Bucks lost to Rockets, it's not going to do much. So what does this game do? It gives them experience in these late moments. And the Bucks, I mean, they blew it last night. They blew the game. Yeah, they missed Eric Bledsoe, but they had a comfortable lead. They blew the game. They turned the ball over way too much. They let the Rockets shoot 61 threes, which ties a record in a non-overtime game, which I'm okay with. This is how the Rockets want to play, and this is how you beat the Rockets. This is how the Warriors beat the Rockets in some of their playoff matchups to get to the NBA Finals. This is what the Rockets do. And if they make their shots, like if a Ben McLemore steps up and starts hitting shots, then that's how these teams are going to beat you. You assume that their bench players aren't going to beat you. Now, maybe 5 too many corner threes were available to a guy like Jeff Green. I get, hey, go ahead and shoot the three, but don't, like, roll out the red carpet for them. They could maybe work on that a little bit. But when I say the Bucks blew the game, I'll just give you some stats, and you'll have to agree with me. The Bucks are the first team in NBA history to lose a game in which they scored 110 points, held an opponent under 40% shooting, and had a plus 25 minimum rebound differential. Those teams are now 177-1 all time. The Bucks scored at least 110, held their opponent to at least under 40%, and had at least a 25 rebound differential. First team to ever have those stats and then lose. Prior to losing to the Rockets on Sunday, the Bucks had been a league best 50-0 when leading by 8 or more points with 3 minutes or less to go in regulation. So the Bucks had an 8-point-plus lead, lose it, and that's the first time they've done that all season. So you can look at it and be frustrated. There were a lot of turnovers that the Bucks had last night. I think that's one of the big stories, 22 turnovers in comparison to the 9 for the Rockets. There was a lot of adjusting at the end that maybe they didn't need to do. Brooke Lopez was getting whatever he wanted, and then they kind of went away from that in those closing minutes. So that's something that Coach Budenholzer said, you know, that's on me. So you can look at this game and say, I don't like how that basketball game ended. I don't like how the Bucks had this lead and did all these great things and then still lost this game. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to step back a little bit because in the moment, sure, it's Sunday night, it's prime time, the whole league's watching. I think as NBA fans, we all need to take a step back. You know, for 4 months, we talk about what? It's going to be the Bucks versus an LA team in the finals. After the weekend, the Rockets beat the Bucks, and the Raptors beat the Lakers. And now what? It's Raptors-Rockets. We're so excited for sports to come back. I do think that after this kind of weekend, with everything happening, we need to take a breath, just relax a little bit, enjoy that it's back, be upset about how the Bucks lost, but be confident that it doesn't mean anything standing-wise, and if it means anything, it may actually be a good thing for this team to get some experience down the stretch, which, I mean, really, they were sorely lacking.
Yeah, I mean, you realize how much you need Eric Bledsoe. Say what you want about Bledsoe, but when you have Sterling Brown handling the ball, I saw way too much Sterling this weekend. All due respect, he's a great guy off the floor. I don't want to see Sterling Brown on the floor again. And we won't have to once Pat Connaughton comes back. You also forget how important he is coming off the bench because I saw way too much Sterling, and I love Dante DiVincenzo. He's going to have better games and better days. But him taking over for Bledsoe as your primary ball handler is not the answer, as he turns the ball over 5 times. My main problem was the final 3 minutes of that game where you said it. I mean, I said it on Twitter as well. You got Brook Lopez posting up doing whatever he wants down low on the block. Keep feeding him the ball. The Rockets traded their only rim protector. Why? I have no idea. They want to play this small ball basketball. And in the regular season, on nights like last night when they shoot 61 threes and they hit 20-something of them, they're going to win games. But what happens come playoff time when you don't have a rim protector because you had one of the better ones in the league in Clint Capella and you traded him away? So they don't have a true center on that team. They got guys 6'7", 6'8", down low playing center. Keep going to Lopez. Instead, it becomes the two-man show with the pick and roll with Giannis and Chris Middleton, and right, that's going to win you more games than it's going to lose you, but last night you had the mismatch, and it was Brook Lopez. Other than that, though, nobody stepped up. Middleton was great last night, although I wish he would have made one of those threes down the stretch. Giannis was terrific last night. In fact, like, look what he's doing. So many records were broke last night. Giannis had 36 points, 18 boards, 8 assists. He now joins Kareem, the only player with 15 games with at least 30 points, 15 rebounds, and 5 assists in a season in the last 50 years. Only him and Kareem have done that. So, like, let's not knock Giannis when we hear James Harden say that he was easy to defend or whatever. But, right, some stuff did drive me nuts down the stretch. Coach Budenholzer with the adjustments last night, him saying us not dumping the ball down low to Lopez is on me. Well, yes, this is the regular season, but like, I don't know. I do worry a little bit. Sometimes he's set in his ways, like especially with those rotations. And I was bitching about Sterling Brown getting minutes, and everybody's like, well, who gets those minutes right now without Pat? And I'm like, well, good point. Like, I don't mind Sterling eating some minutes out there on the floor, but why has he got the ball in his hands so damn much?
I was so unimpressed with him last night. I was clamoring for Rashad Vaughn to come back.
I thought he was better last night than he was against the Celtics. He was bad against the Celtics, too. I just don't want to see him handle the ball. I don't mind him eating up some minutes, you know, diving for a loose ball. He's a good teammate, but he ain't the ball handler.
It was last summer. He was still in the NBA Summer League for some reason. And I watched these Summer League games, and him and DJ Wilson were there, and they should just be destroying.
And what was up with the rotations? DJ is stealing Ersan's minutes? I've been asking for that for years, but Ersan looks washed, too. Sorry, but the rotations were just a mess.
Well, I watched those Summer League games, and Sterling looked lost in the G League.
Right.
And he played the same way last night. So that's concerning that he doesn't seem to be able to figure it out right now. I'm still at the standpoint, hey, this is going to be a good thing. They did lose a game they should have won. They were up 8 with more than 3 to go. That's a game you should win. That's a game that the Bucks should have won last night. I totally get that. I'm going to try to look big picture and think this will help them as they settle back into things. We ask it a lot on this station, and I'm going to right now to start the week off. Why not? What say you? 414-799-1250. We'll talk some Bucks. 414-799-1250. And the mystery needs to be solved. Why does the rest of the NBA hate the Bucks? Why poor little us rooted against at every turn? We need to solve that mystery. 414-799-1250. You can talk Bucks with us. We'll talk plenty of Brewers, little Packers along the way as well. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath on the fan.
We were doing something that worked before game and was posting up Brooke or getting him in the high post, but Brooke got tired. I got tired. It wasn't organized. We tried to run high pick and roll. He was trying to run high pick and roll, but yelling post broke up. So it was just not organized. And usually maybe up six.
I'm going to dump out of that. That Zoom quality is not great.
No. I that's what I said. I was like, and you know what? I can't wait till life returns to normal just so we're done with Zoom conference calls. It's just, I can't understand what's going on.
Then when we think when we're done with them at work, then that's how we're communicating with all of our athletes and our players and coaches.
Yeah.
So Giannis in there was talking about how they usually close games like last night out, and that is true. They were 50-0 this season when they led by 8 or more with 3 minutes to go. And last night that was the scenario, but last night they lost. It kind of felt like a game they were going to lose all night anyway. Bucks came out to a double-digit lead, then Rockets did the same, and the Rockets just kind of held the Bucks at bay for a while. Harden picks up his fourth foul towards the end of the second quarter, which was clearly an offensive foul on him. I thought for sure they were going to overturn it because there was one ref who called the foul. It was like 3.5 to go in the second. He calls the foul. He immediately realizes, at least this is what I gathered from his face, like, oh no, that's James Harden and that's going to be his fourth. And if it was any more questionable, they may have overturned it. But, you know, I just don't trust this league. I don't trust James Harden. I thought for sure they were going to give that one against George Hill and give Harden his foul back. But then, you know, you have four fouls in the first half, and James Harden only has one foul in the second. Okay.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
Even as he's flying into people on his three-point attempts, kicking Wes Matthews in the junk.
Yeah, James Harden reminds me a little bit of myself because, like, remember a week or, like, a month and a half ago, he was, like, really skinny and they were showing all these pictures. Now he's just kind of, like, thick again. He reminds me of myself. We're having like a good week and he'll lose a bunch of weight and then he's just fat again like 2 weeks later. My biggest takeaway this weekend, I'm glad that you brought up that because I was laughing. I'm like, geez, this is an MVP candidate. He's got four fouls in the first half. When do you see that? And then I was like, oh, our guy, Giannis. My biggest takeaway this weekend, hey, Giannis is getting superstar calls. I loved watching Celtic fans cry on Friday night. He
fouled
out of that game like four times,
and he kept
getting superstar calls. Now, the one that was the right call at the end with the charge, that was not an offensive foul. But screw you, Marcus Smart. Screw you, Celtic fans. Hey, I love it. Little small market Milwaukee, small market Giannis, the two-time MVP, soon to be, getting superstar calls. That was my biggest takeaway this weekend. If we get that in the playoffs, Bucks and six all the way to the championship.
Jaylen Brown's running back to his hotel, posting on Instagram.
What a little girl, I know.
Pictures of Giannis holding hands with the referee Ken Maurer, who's not even there.
Yeah.
But to signify that the Bucks get all the calls, and that's the narrative that the Celtics fans are running with. And if you're in the Celtics' head in the first game of this bubble, I mean, you see them in a playoff series, they have no chance against you.
Yeah, and I don't want to take away anything I saw from the Celtics. They had a nice victory yesterday.
Well, Jason Tatum cut his hair, and now he's good.
Jason Tatum was awful, but I want to see a little bit more of them just because Kemba Walker's on a minute restrictions right now. He's not even playing the fourth quarter of these games, so I want to wait till I judge Boston. Miami looked really good. Hey, don't sleep on Orlando. Now, I know that you're going to roll over Orlando, but they're up and coming. They look really good. It sucks that Jonathan Isaac's now tore his ACL, so he's done for the year, and he just came back. But Orlando's got a sneaky little team in the East. But the Raptors, I mean, I'm guessing you watched the Raptors-Lakers.
Oh, yeah, I watched the Raptors win the NBA title on Saturday night, yes.
They do look really good. Statistically, they're a better team this year without Kawhi than they were last year.
Imagine if that team still had Kawhi, imagine. Because they are good.
They
Kawhi could have stayed. They'd be back-to-back champs, but he left.
Why? Yeah, because
he could have stayed. They'd win again. There's no way. As much as I love the Bucks, the Raptors are very good without Kawhi. You put Kawhi back on there, they don't have a chance. I mean, that's going to be the Raptors.
Will you admit
the Raptors are the threat in the East?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Miami's really good, but I still think that they're a player away. Whereas you could say, like, well, who's going to take these games over for the Raptors? That's the thing.
I don't know what's going on with the Sixers.
Kyle Lowry. Oh, the Sixers are the Sixers. And I, you know, like betting social media, all those guys were like, don't sleep on the Sixers. I got a Sixers ticket in my back pocket. What in the hell were you guys watching all regular season long? Because Ben Simmons is a power forward now, you thought that they were just going to figure things out? No, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid on the floor together with that spacing, I don't care how many shooters you got on the floor with them. That team will never win a championship. Ben Simmons needs to develop a jumper. Giannis is putting together a jumper. Ben Simmons needs one to keep the defense honest. I like him as a playmaker, but he can't shoot. And so I will just let Ben. I could double team Embiid all game long. And Tobias Harris ain't the answer. So that's my takeaway from the weekend, is that Giannis is getting superstar calls. The Raptors may be better without Kawhi. And it's because anybody on any given night on that team could beat you, with Kyle Lowry hitting shots. Fred VanVleet looks really good. Siakam is a superstar. And just their role players are great. But Nick Nurse, he might be the best coach in the Eastern Conference. Like, I definitely got him up there with Spoelstra right now.
Well, you know me. I won't give him credit ever.
Yeah, and even after this weekend, though, because they locked the Lakers up. I mean, they had a defensive game plan for AD and for LeBron.
Oh, the Raptors' defense was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
It was noted by Rob Perez, Worldwide Wob, on Twitter.
Love him.
He took the last 4 minutes of the Lakers-Raptors game on Saturday night, and he cut all of the defensive plays for the Raptors. And if you watch this, I retweeted this at Winks Thinks. We can retweet it at The Fan.
Yeah.
Every Laker possession, they had one clean look in the entire 4 minutes, and there were nothing at the rim. The Raptors know how to defend. Okay, so I always ripped on Nick Nurse last year because the Warriors had five guys on the court. One of them was Steph Curry, and the other four guys couldn't shoot. So they were like, well, let's cover Curry then. But it's the box in one, remember, like in high school?
Yeah.
And so everyone's like, oh, my God, what a genius. No, you just cover the guy that can shoot. But Nick Nurse, he does have a defensive plan, and his players play for it. So, yeah, the Raptors are a problem. They are definitely a problem. Again, I think 10 minutes ago I said let's not overreact too much to one weekend. I'm not overreacting here. I'm just finally admitting what I don't want to admit. The Raptors are going to be a problem.
Yeah, and that's not just coming from what we saw this weekend. That's coming from all season long. Again, look at it. Statistically, they're a better team without Kawhi Leonard. And you also have to remember, like, a lot of that has to do with Kawhi didn't play a whole lot in the regular season last year anyway. They were using a lot of load management. He didn't play back-to-backs. Every time I watch this Raptors team, though, I'm like, oh, he's still on the team. Like, Marcus Gasol's still on the team. But yeah, I think we got to give Nick Nurse a shout-out because I think he is a legit head coach. And I know that we hate him. I mean, he's a schmuck. He has his own hat, NN. But he is good, and that team, they've bought in. And that's what I could say about them, is they're a complete team. You know, there's really no egos. I mean, your biggest superstar is Pascal Siakam. He has no ego. So they play within the offense. Ball never stops moving. They get really good looks. And like you said, the final 3-4 minutes of that game against the Lakers just had nowhere to go, no clean looks, and they locked down LeBron. It was good. And I was like, oh, man, I got to remind myself, this is the Raptors. This is who knocked us out of the Eastern Conference Finals, because anybody playing against LeBron, shutting him down, I'm usually rooting for that team. The Raptors got something that I like. If this was any other year and the Bucks weren't competitive, I'd probably root for that team.
No.
A bunch of nobodies. Well, yeah, I'm saying, like, if they didn't beat the Bucks last year. But you know what And I don't like Kyle Lowry. But everybody else on that team, like VanVleet, that's a guy that's worked his ass off.
Oh, I hate that guy.
Yeah, but he's worked his ass off to get where he's at. I like Pascal Siakam.
I like
nobody
one
knew who
guy
he was
on the Raptors, and it's Matt Thomas.
Matt Thomas.
Who went to Onalaska.
Ah, okay.
Hilltopper.
You don't like Marc Gasol?
You
hate Pau Gasol. So.
I hate Pau Gasol. He ruined our season last year.
I love him.
So what the plan was for us on Friday, and what we'll probably be doing throughout the next month as sports come back in a flurry, is we're just going to kind of bounce around between our teams. There was some Packers news over the weekend. They are back. Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst talking. We'll have reports from Mike Clemens throughout the day. We may hear from those guys today. We may hear from them a little more tomorrow when we do talk to Mike, because there's just a lot to talk about with the Brewers and Bucks. So there is a sentiment about the Bucks that I do want to talk to at some point here. I put out a tweet last night saying, why does no one love us? And all NBA fan bases saw it, thanks to a few generous retweets. And so people are going in on me for that, which I try to read your tweets this morning as they're coming in live, and it's a lot of junk. So at some point I do want to get to that and see if you guys agree with me with the sentiment that maybe people shouldn't be trashing on our Milwaukee Bucks right now. I do want to hear from David Stearns next, and I think that's important. He talked over the weekend. No Brewers games, just a wild weekend of Brewers. So the plan will be, we're going to hear from Clemens, and then we're going to start to talk a little Brewers. if you are up and still you just jazzed about last night or want to talk more about the Bucks, 414-799-1250. You could tweet us at 105.7FM, The Fan. I'll keep it going as long as there's interest there. Otherwise, we'll just kind of go back and forth. And that's sort of a plan for what we'll do. If we're talking Brewers, but I think, all right, it's time to go to the Bucks, but you guys still want to talk Brewers, we'll keep going Brewers. We've got two huge things to talk about, three if you throw in the Packers, and only really one stream to do it. So it's, again, we said this all summer. It's your show, 414-799-1250. We'll hear from David Stearns coming up, but certainly, you know, jump in and choose your own adventure throughout the day and throughout, you know, the end of time. 414-799-1250. We'll hear from David Stearns. They had a very, I mean, imagine a weekend worse than that. If you're one of their guys had a heart attack last night, Pat Murphy, after everything that happens, then we find out Pat Murphy had a heart attack. He's okay, but still. 799-1250, Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath on The Fan.
Sports Flash.
There was a tweet last night I saw, and I don't know if this guy's shtick was for attention. Dave Portnoy, who founded and runs Barstool.
Prez.
He, El Presidente. Look, I don't want to make a war against the stoolies. This tweet, he says, I don't know, it's just not for me, this return to sports. It feels kind of like the preseason. I'm not feeling that. I get that it's different and, you know, everything's happening at once and there's not arenas of 15,000 people cheering it on, but I think that if you watch any of hockey, it comes across fine on TV. I mean, you want to talk about hockey not being a preseason. There was a fight 3 minutes into the first game.
God, I loved it.
All right, and the NBA, while yes, it's at Disney, you almost have to remind yourself of that because the games have been so, I think they've been so intense and they come off pretty well on TV. I mean, the virtual fan thing helps and they have their home crowd speakers and there's still the defense. And, you know, if you don't have your eyes on it and you leave the room or you're looking at something else, your phone or whatever, it kind of feels like you're watching a normal game. I was so into hoops last night. I was wrestling with this decision, and I finally just caved because Bucks game ends, and then I see that the Suns are beating the Mavericks. I'm like, oh, I gotta see this. So I bought League Pass last night. It's just like $28 for the rest of the way, but I'm like,
you're an idiot. I told you I would have given you my info.
No, but it's that I need it on the TV.
Yeah. So all you. I could have given you my info.
No, because then I got to get it on TV. I want to turn on channel 742 and watch it.
Oh, okay. So you had to add it to your package.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to open up a stream.
Gotcha. Okay.
And go to Fire Stick.
Yeah, I have it in my package as well, but actually I have the I got charged twice for League Pass this year.
Did you complain?
No, because I didn't realize it until like months later because I was like, oh, I forgot I even have League Pass because I take advantage of the fact that I could watch the Bucks locally, and then kind of forgot about it the first couple weeks because the Packers were so damn good this year that I didn't think of the NBA until like Christmas for once, as far as like watching other teams. So yeah, I got charged twice, so I probably could have given you that for free, but whatever.
Well,
it's a good move.
It's $28.
There's games all day today.
I'll learn to live another day. Right, we were talking about this, you know, during the break. If you just look at like the games today, and this is, I can't imagine how anyone would think it's the preseason. You've got Raptors and Heat. How good are the Raptors? How good is that matchup going to be? It's at 12:30 today.
It's like March Madness with less defense.
Yeah, it does have a March Madness feel. There's Pacers, Wizards, and Nuggets, Thunder. Yeah. Those games are both at 3.
Nuggets, Thunder is going to be a sneaky good game.
There's a slew of games tonight. If NHL is more your speed, there is a game that starts today at 11 a.m.,
yeah,
playoff hockey.
I know.
On a Monday in August at 11 a.m.
And, of course, I'll be up until 1 a.m. when I got to be up at 3 a.m. because my team, even though games start at noon, doesn't play until 9:30 tonight. My Chicago Blackhawks take the Oilers out back this weekend, kick the crap out of them. Man, they looked good. Jonathan Toews looked like it took me back to a decade ago. He looked 25 again.
I wish I had a team in this. My hockey team is the Sabres.
Yikes.
Who haven't made the playoffs since 2013.
What about the Golden Knights?
Golden Knights I will passively root for.
Mm-hmm.
My brother lives in Vegas, one of them.
Not the one that works for the Warriors?
No, he lives in the Bay Area.
Which makes sense. That's how he works for the Warriors. Is he looking for a new job now that the Warriors are done, or are the Warriors going to get a big free agent?
The Warriors. I don't know what his job is right now. He doesn't do anything.
I forgot about him.
Are you upset you're not in the bubble? And he goes, hell no.
Right.
I don't want to be there.
Well, yeah, and especially.
He said it's all work, no play.
Right. And he's been in the NBA finals like 8 times the last 9 years. But you know what's crazy? Like, I'm enjoying basketball this weekend, and I forgot all about the Warriors. I forgot that Steph Curry, you know, that's one of your most marketable players. He's not even in the bubble. I forgot about the Warriors until I saw that Klay Thompson commercial because he's recovering from torn ACL and the surgery and whatnot. So they have that commercial, and I'm like, oh man, I forgot all about the Warriors. I wonder if they're ever going to be good again. They'll get somebody. Not Giannis, but they'll get somebody.
Yeah, if you're one of those 8 teams.
Yeah, what are you, man?
You got to have a little bit of FOMO, mm-hmm. The fear of missing out for not being there. You got some great action. There's games all day. These guys are hanging out, fishing, all that stuff, and you're at home watching it on TV like the rest of us. But the point being, there are a ton of sports today, and this is on top of the normal slate of Major League Baseball games today. With the caveat, will there be baseball games today? I was getting very worried come Friday. It seemed like maybe this thing was going to come crashing down because you already had the Marlins clubhouse who was affected big time, and then the Phillies couldn't play for a week, even though all of the testing there negative. So that's a very good sign. They're going to pick things back up here this week. But then what the Marlins had was almost everybody in that clubhouse had positive cases. Asan Diaz, former Brewer prospect, he opted out over the weekend because it's too much. And that affected that one team having coronavirus cases affected like 6 other teams. So you had that. And then you could say, well, that's just located in the East. Then all of a sudden the St. Louis Cardinals come up with the 2 cases that we told you about Friday and more cases throughout the weekend. They're supposed to play Detroit this week. I don't see how that happens. There were some Cardinals coaches at Miller Park on Thursday, not as many as there might normally be. So the Brewers maybe dodged that situation there, but obviously we haven't had a game. Friday, there's no home opener, and so the initial plan was, well, they're going to play one Saturday, and they're going to do a doubleheader Sunday. I don't know why they didn't just cancel the whole thing right away. I feel bad if anybody was like hoping and still planning on games this weekend for the Brewers. As soon as that Friday game didn't happen, there was no way that any of the other games were going to happen. I don't know why they didn't try to just call those sooner. There was just going to be no way, especially with what happened with the Marlins 2 weekends ago where they played despite guys that knew they had COVID-19 positive test, and then the Phillies had to shut things down. This is just one thing that happened for the Brewers. Lorenzo Cain, we're talking about Asan Diaz opting out, and Yoenis Cespedes opting out over the weekend as well with the Mets. Lorenzo Cain opted out. I think once that happened, a lot of Brewers fans were like, okay, maybe we do just shut this down because now you've lost one of your leaders. And Lorenzo Cain, he's giving up. This is not like his contract will be extended a year because he's not playing this year. He's giving up about $5.92 million. That was his prorated salary. He's giving that up to go home and be with the wife and kids and be away from all of this. I mean, that's a huge decision. And that's what he decided to do. Again, when these guys make this decision, how are you going to replace Kane in center? I think that's a fine conversation. I'm not going to judge anybody for looking out for their family and doing what's right. And then Ryan Braun, I was worried, all right, if Kane's going to opt out, Braun's already said he's day-to-day. What's going to happen there? He didn't opt out, but his finger kind of opted out for him. Braun developed an infection on his finger, on his right hand. He had to go to the ER yesterday. They had to cut it open, so he can't play until that heals. And then late last night, we find out the report from our radio.com MLB insider Bob Nightingale that Pat Murphy, while at the ballpark on Saturday, the bench coach and Craig Counsell's former coach at Notre Dame, had a heart attack. So it's like, could there be more bad news that has hit one team in one weekend? It was not a good scenario for the Milwaukee Brewers. They are on track to play tonight, though. Despite everything I just said, no positive test for the Brewers at this point, and they are on track to play tonight, and that will be the MO. General Manager David Stearns, as long as it's safe, we are going to play.
if we can do this safely, I want to go forward. Yes. And I think the players want to play. Players want to play. That's why they are here. We have had a rocky start to this, and we've had a greater concentration of positives than we anticipated coming into this. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know that the volume of positives has been greater. It's probably been a little bit less, but the concentration has been concerning, and we need to figure out why that is.
Again, we'll talk more on the Bucks weekend coming up just after 7 o'clock. I want to hear a little bit from David Stearns, as this was supposed to be the home opener weekend for the Milwaukee Brewers. We've got the two Bucks games to talk about. We should have three Brewers games to talk about. We have none after the positive test in the Cardinals clubhouse. White Sox tonight. Brewers have the White Sox for two, and then they're supposed to go to Chicago for two Wednesday, Thursday. I still don't see why you just don't play all four games in one ballpark and do the flip-flop. Like, some of these other teams are starting to do this week. Brewers can be the home team for two games. White Sox can be the home team for two where they bat second. I think you need to eliminate some sort of travel. So when this was happening on Friday morning, as all this news was breaking, my suggestion was shut it down for a week, reschedule things out so that you don't have all this wonky travel, and you can really try to contain the situations where, even if you're doing everything right, you could still, you know, pick up COVID-19. They're not doing that, but I still think there should be some tweaking to the schedule. You got like a team like the Phillies. The plan is to play 57 games in 56 days. Yeah, the doubleheaders will be two innings shorter, but that is a lot of time. And now the Brewers have to make up three games over the weekend, and they don't play the Cardinals again until September.
Right.
So that's going to be a lot of time. It's just, I feel like they're still trying to cram. I look at it like my kid's toys. He's got this little bin.
Yeah.
And he keeps getting more toys. And I keep trying to cram all the toys into the one bin. At some point, I got to move on, get over the sentimental value of, oh, my kid touched this once.
Yeah.
And get rid of the toys. I think baseball needs to get rid of some games and make things relatively even at about, you know, 50 or so. Because I'm trying to look at just the NL Central standings to figure out if the Brewers have a wild card spot or not.
You see the Cubs at 7-2 and...
Cubs are 7-2.
Brewers haven't played since Wednesday.
Brewers are 3-3.
Yeah.
And they're in second, so yeah. they would be in the playoffs if they ended today. Reds 4-5. Cardinals 2-3. Cardinals have only played 5 games. Well, Pirates 2-7.
And that's what sucks, because you see teams like the Cubs. Yesterday they went in walk-off fashion and they have a socially distanced celebration. And everybody that's went and played in Chicago, or like the Cubs, like they gave a huge shout-out to the Reds when they went there just for taking care of them. There are a lot of teams and a lot of players that are doing the right thing. I mean, there's this 185-page guideline of all these rules to follow. And I'm watching national games, and I'm seeing guys spitting all over the place and guys high-fiving and hugging each other. And look, I don't want to police that kind of stuff. Like, I get it. It's weird that we have to do so, but I want this season to finish. So it sucks when you see some teams are treating it the right way, and then we hear these reports that the Cardinals are going golfing and sitting at a hotel bar. And granted, like, there's nobody even at that bar. So I hate to virus shame people, but, like, you got to follow the rules if you want there to be a baseball season, because you're not only putting your season in jeopardy and your fellow players and coaches in jeopardy, but the other coaches and the other players' wives and things of that such. So it just sucks, because the two teams that are going to ruin this in Major League Baseball are two teams that I just absolutely hate. I hate the Marlins. You want to know why I hate the Marlins? They've been around since, I mean, what, the last 20 years?
94, 93.
And they've won two World Series titles.
Yeah.
We have to sit around here. We're never going to get a World Series, but the Marlins get two, and then they just butcher their team the next year. And then the Cardinals. Don't even get me started on the Cardinals. They've been ruining my life since I was 3 years old. I hate the St. Louis Cardinals. The other day, we wanted to do our NL look around. I don't even want to grab any of the reporters. I hate the reporters. If you live in St. Louis, if you've even stepped foot in St. Louis, I hate you. I hate the Cardinals, and I hate the Marlins, and they're the two teams that are going to screw it up for everybody. Hate the virus shame, but when it's those two teams, and they're just not, you know, the Marlins had to go to the Boom Boom Room. They couldn't just sit in the hotel. You know, they had to go visit Strawberry go in the back room. Like, follow the instructions so we could have a season. You know, you got all off season to go to the strip club. Damn it.
Now I feel bad about the hat I'm wearing. I'm wearing a St. Louis Battlehawks hat.
Throw that in the trash and light it on fire.
A divider between us.
I hate St. Louis.
I got it for $3, Dick's Sporting Goods, at a wild XFL sale a couple of weeks ago.
Hate the Cardinals.
And I took some major advantage.
Worst fans in baseball. Worst fan base. Hate the Cubs all you want and their fan base. At least, hey, they helped pay for Christian Yelich. What do the Cardinals do?
Yeah, I guess with the parking and the tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Cardinals. The Cubs, you hate the Cubs because you hate the Cubs. But you hate the Cardinals because they do think, like, they invented baseball.
They're like the Red Sox.
They're all descendants of Abner Doubleday.
Yeah, they're like that idiot kid that's like, it's been 2 years since I saw a championship here in Boston. I'm 8 years old and I've seen 40 titles. Well, good for you. Take that sign and, yeah, you know what to do with it. I hate the Cardinals.
Cardinals are supposed to play in Detroit.
And the Marlins!
See if that happens this week. We'll give you a rundown of what's going on with baseball a little bit later as well. Just after 7, want to get back to the Bucks. And talk about the Celtics and the Rockets. You guys can chime in on that at 414-799-1250. Dan Vivalli, Bleacher Report, 8:30. And then we'll talk more on the Brewers at 9 o'clock with Adam McKelvey. You have these guys who are on the field, and there's got to be some anxiety there. And David Stern says, yeah, there's anxiety, you know, all over every time that we're out here because you just don't know so much about this virus. And it was one thing that Lorenzo Cain just decided, you know what, I'm going to go home. And it's tough. It was weighing on him. But Lorenzo Cain did opt out over the weekend. I think when you have a game canceled, and this is how I felt as a Brewer fan too initially, when you have a game canceled, you think, all right, well, it's happened to other teams. We'll figure it out. But then when Lorenzo Cain opts out, it's not, no offense, Brock Holt opting out. It's not, you know, it's Lorenzo Cain. It's one of your guys on the team. He's like fourth best in wins above replacement because of his defense a lot among outfielders in the last 3 years behind like Yelich and Bellinger and Trout. Lorenzo Cain's a very valuable piece on your team on the field and off. And to see him opt out over the weekend, it's tough.
Lorenzo informed us last night. He talked to Craig first. I spoke later with him and his agent. And he felt this was something that he needed to do. We completely respect the decision, support the decision. This is something that Lorenzo had been thinking about and discussing with his family for some time. This is the first he had brought it to our attention, but as we understood the decision and understood the decision-making process, it's something that's been on his mind. And ultimately, he believes this is the right thing for him to do, and we understand that.
So to see that happen, he didn't, Lorenzo, specifically say, hey, this weekend, because of the Cardinals, this is why I'm going to opt out. But Stearns also told the media and reporters that it's right to assume that, you know, if they played a baseball series this weekend, maybe he doesn't opt out. You probably assume that. Although there were other opt-outs, Yoenis Cespedes, who the Mets tried to shame him yesterday and say, oh, we don't know where he is, he's missing. Most of baseball thought he was dead. Oh, he left his hotel room and didn't tell the Mets because he's like, I don't want to do this anymore. So he opted out yesterday. Isan Diaz, as I mentioned, former Brewers prospect involved in that Yelich trade with the Marlins, he opted out too. And Lorenzo Cain's a big one, and I think a lot of Brewers fans saw that and were like, all right, what kind of season are we playing here? But they're going to try to forge ahead, and we've got a game tonight. I think Brett Anderson's still scheduled to pitch.
He is.
I'd go with Woodruff at this point. He didn't pitch since Wednesday.
Right.
Just go with Woody, honestly. We'll talk to Adam McKelvey at 9. Much more on the Brewers in the weekend that wasn't straight ahead. Milwaukee Bucks, they lose a game to the Rockets, a game that they probably should have won. How much of an alarm does that set off for you? Next.